Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Last week, I began a three-week series called Unorthodox, and it was based on the activities of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 5, and you know, what happened in those early days of the book of Acts was powerful, it was explosive, it was dynamic, amen? And the church was unorthodox, hallelujah. Unorthodox literally means contrary or different from what is usual, traditional, or expected. And that is what the church was. Amen. They had unorthodox prayer, unorthodox miracles, unorthodox giving, unorthodox moving of the gifts of the Spirit, healings, outpourings of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, water baptisms, and the point I made last week in the message was, it was unorthodox what was happening for them compared to us. But it was the norm for them to see the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit happening among that early church. Amen. And as I preached about last week, that is the kind of church that we, and frankly, every New Testament church ought to want to be like. Amen. An unorthodox church. So let's go back to Acts chapter 5. I want to start in verse 1. I told you last week we skipped over this story and I was going to pick it back up this week. Acts chapter 5 verse 1. And this is a pretty wild story. If you've never read it or heard it or understand it, check this out. Verse 1. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. Now, don't miss, that's an important part of this story. With his wife's consent, notice they collaborated together, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, liar, liar, pants on fire. That's not actually in the verse, amen. You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us. Notice his disobedience. He was lying to God. Verse 5, as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Now, that you may not want our church to be like that church, right? That was very unorthodox, amen. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. That's probably a great understatement. Verse 6, then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out, and buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So Peter asked her, he said, was this the price that you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. Amen. Now, listen to Peter. My boy drops the hammer. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? And here comes the boom. The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they're going to carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. And when the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church, I'll bet. And everyone else who heard what had happened. I told you last week that was a crazy story. It happened. So here's what I want to preach to you about today. The choice to obey. the choice to obey. Amen. And don't worry, I don't think anybody in here is going to fall out dead today. I do not feel that spirit in here. Amen. Amen. So you're safe. But if you run for the exits, I understand why. Amen. All right. This first story of a willful, sinful act that took place in the early church, it was a result of a sin, a deliberate choice that a married couple decided to make. Now, on the surface, when you read this story, this might look like it's a lesson on our responsibility to give sacrificially, but this story really isn't about giving. It's more about our responsibility to be honest and genuine and committed to making God-honoring choices based on obeying what the Holy Spirit says to us. See, you need to understand what was going on at the time of this story. In the New Testament church, they were experiencing a spirit of radical generosity, radical sacrifice and sharing. For example, Barnabas had sold a house and he gave all of the proceeds to meet the needs in the local church family. This was extremely genuine and it was extremely generous. Many other people, the Bible said, they were selling possessions, stuff that they didn't need, and they were bringing the money, giving it to the church for them to help the poor. Folks, these were acts of generosity that were driven out of their sense of joy, out of their sense of thanksgiving. God, hear me though, it's important. God did not make them do this. The Holy Spirit didn't make, the apostles were not pressuring people to sell their homes and give the money to the church. These were people that were giving sacrificially, and they were fully dedicated to the well-being of their brothers and sisters, and they were giving out of sincerity, they were giving out of love. Nowhere in the scripture do you see where the apostles were manipulating them or trying to make them give at this extreme level. And that brings us now to the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They also had a piece of property. And the Bible says that they sold it and brought part. How many of y'all appreciate the guest services people who are helping us see people today? Amen. I see you, Lisa. Do your thing, girl. They sold it and they brought part of the proceeds to the apostles as an offering, which was a good thing. It would have been a blessed thing. But here was the problem. They lied about it. They tried to tell the apostles, hey, look, we sold this and all of this is the proceeds. When in fact, the scripture says they kept some of it back for themselves. Now, I don't know what their motives were for doing what they did, but we could probably make a few assumptions. For example, maybe they were seeking, they saw all of the attention that the other generous Christians were getting. Maybe they saw how Barnabas had been praised when he sold that land and gave it all to the church. Maybe they wanted a little piece of that praise pie, right? Maybe they wanted some attaboys or somebody to notice them. I don't know. Maybe they had initially decided, hey, we are going to sell this and we are going to give the full amount. But somewhere along the way, maybe they talked themselves out of it, or maybe they became afraid, or whatever it was that caused them to decide to go back on what they might have originally planned to do. See, the problem was not them keeping the money or even keeping part of the money. It was their money to do with what they wanted. Peter even said this when he confronted them in verse 4. He said, the property was yours to do with what you wanted. The money was yours, but why did you choose to lie about it? See, the problem was they made a choice to dishonor God by intentionally lying. Peter said, not just to the apostles, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. They wanted the church to believe that they had given all of the proceeds when in fact they had not. Now see, I want to believe that they were good people to have given part of the money. But folks, hear me, there was something that was flawed in their lives. There was something that was broken there. There was something that was incomplete, something that was amiss that caused them to conspire, to go in and to lie to the apostles and to the Holy Spirit. They were professing to give all, but they were secretly holding some things back. And folks, there's always a danger in keeping back part of a commitment to God when you know he wants all of you and not just part of you. Amen? As believers who wish to please God, and you're here today, you're filling up this room, I believe that, that you're in that category. But when we keep back a part of ourselves from God, we don't only affect the body of Christ, we hurt ourselves, and we could even be hurting our families and friends by our disobedience. Amen. And by the way, you can fill in the blank here. For Ananias and Sapphira, it was a piece of property and lying about the prophets. For some of you, maybe it's an issue of giving too. Maybe it's your tithes and your offerings, your giving. Don't hold back from the Lord if you understand the word of God and you're committed to honoring God with the tithe. How many tithers are in this house? How many of you can testify it's a blessed life? For some of you, maybe it's in the area of serving and ministry. You used to teach children or you used to serve at the door and God has called you to come back, but you've decided, no, I'm just going to hold back that part of my life. Maybe it's to serve God in another way. Maybe to volunteer to help the homeless. Maybe you're supposed to be volunteering at your child's PTA. Maybe it's something that's not even in the church at all. But God's asked you to do something and you're holding back part of your life. Maybe he's called you to a place of higher personal consecration. Now I'm going to get real specific today because the Holy Spirit talked to me about it this week. Maybe to more prayer, or maybe God's calling you to a more separated and a holy lifestyle. Maybe he's called you to break some addictions in your life. Maybe he's calling you to break some things off that maybe they're not an addiction, but they're something you struggle with. But you're holding back, and you've got a choice to make. Do I obey, or do I disobey the Holy Spirit? See, when you make a commitment to the Lord and then you keep back part of yourself, when you keep back part of your heart, when you keep back part of your will, then you are cheating and endangering not only yourself, but probably the people that are around you. We need to learn a lesson from Ananias and Sapphira today. Do not hold back from God anything that you know he wants you to give to him. Amen. Don't stop at halfway. Don't stop at part of the price. Don't stop at, I have changed this, but I'm not going to change that. God is calling for a church that is willing to give him unorthodox obedience. And hear me, folks, there is a danger to choosing not to obey. When we continue to read through Acts chapter 5 and you go toward the end of the chapter, we find another place where the church, specifically the apostles, were confronted with whether or not they were going to obey or disobey. They had been told by the council, do not preach about Jesus anymore. They had been told, stop telling everybody that we are the ones who had him crucified. Well, guess what? They were still preaching. They were still teaching. They were still performing miracles. So the council brought them in. And let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 27. You can pick up the story here. It says, then they brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. They wouldn't even say his name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. And I want you to notice what Peter said in response. He didn't hesitate. He didn't equivocate. He didn't wobble. He didn't wait. Amen. Verse 29, Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. We got to obey God and not any human authority. This time the choice was, do we obey God or do we obey man? Peter and the apostles knew, we've got to make a decision today. I owe everything to Jesus. Do to me whatever you're going to do, but I'm going to obey the Lord. Amen. And Life Church, in our walk with God, and in anything that affects us spiritually, understand every decision really comes down to a simple question. Am I going to choose to obey God or am I going to obey man? Am I going to choose to obey God, or am I going to obey human authority? And that human authority that you're obeying might even be your own flesh. Am I going to choose to obey, or am I going to choose to disobey God? Amen. In the decisions that I am making, am I advancing my walk with God, or are they pulling me away from what God requires of me? I need you to ponder this with me today. In the decisions that I'm making, is it advancing my walk with God or pulling me away from who God wants me to be? Are my choices strengthening my consecration, or are they weakening them? Is the choices that I'm making, are they God-honoring, or are they God-diminishing in my life? Folks, hear me. Obedience is essential to pleasing the Lord. It's not a message that we like to hear. It's not a challenge that we want to hear brought to us. But it's our responsibility as disciples of Jesus to walk at the level of obedience, whatever that level is that He is calling us to as children of God. Can somebody say amen? Because hear me, there's going to come a time in each of our lives where we got to decide, who am I going to obey? What am I going to do? I see some teenagers and some young adults in this room. How many of you know that the young people today face a huge challenge? Come on, we got to quit throwing them under the bus and celebrate who they are, and especially the ones who want to serve Jesus. Amen? But you know what? They're constantly being bombarded with messages about drugs and smoking weed and having sex and buying into all the gender confusion, delusion that this culture is pushing upon them, amen, and all this stuff that's being shoved down their throats. They have to make a decision. Do we choose to obey God, or are we going to cave into the authority of man? Come on. Maybe some of you are struggling with a heart toward ministry or missions. You're surrounded by people that think a choice to pursue God would be a waste of your talents or a waste of your life. You've got a choice to make. To obey God, or to obey human authority. Maybe in this room of adults, and even those who might be watching online today, you're maybe being faced with choosing to obey God or choosing to obey man. Maybe you're expected by your employer to blur the lines between right and wrong. You got a choice to make. Do I obey God, or do I obey man? Do I return the attention that I'm receiving from this person that I know is not healthy for my walk with God? Maybe even in my marriage. What do I do? I have a choice to make. Do I obey God, or do I obey human authority and flesh? Do I go out to work with the boys after work and get a few drinks, or do I go home and do something better with my time and spend it with my wife and kids? Do I set myself up for destruction and failure, or do I make a better choice to obey God or man? Come on, I want to help somebody today. Do I listen to this gossip, or do I add to this gossip with my juicy piece of information, knowing full well it's not helping that person that I'm talking about? I have a choice to make. Do I obey God or man? What do I do? See, whatever the occasion or the circumstance, hear me, you will be faced constantly with the choices of obedience or disobedience, the high road or the low road. Amen? For Peter and the rest of the apostles, the choice was clear. We will obey God and not man. And at the heart of this issue of making right choices, there really is another issue above that. You know what it is? The issue of lordship in our lives. You've got to settle the issue of lordship in your life. I know you confessed Him with your mouth. I know you believed on Him in your heart. I know you're full of the Spirit. I mean, I get all that. But is He really the Lord of your life, or just your tongue? See, once you settle the issue of lordship, a lot of these hard decisions become just a little bit easier in your life. Until the issue of lordship is resolved, there's always going to be this tension that comes when faced with right or wrong. But once the matter of lordship is settled, now listen, don't get me wrong, it's not always easy, but I can assure you it's a whole lot easier for you to fall in line with the Spirit of God and become more settled when it comes to the choices that you make in life. I know this to be true. When you let Jesus be the Lord of your life in a true sense, your giving faithfully becomes easier. Your serving faithfully becomes easier. Your living pure becomes easier. Making right choices, even when they're unpopular, become easier. Standing for truth in the midst of darkness becomes easier when you've settled the issue of lordship in your life. See, because when the choice is between God and man, I must obey God. What good does it do if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Amen. You want to know why Peter was able to stand in that moment, Acts chapter 5, standing in front of the council when they're threatening him, telling him he can't preach? He had already settled this issue of obedience and lordship in his life. Let me show you Luke chapter 5, verse 4. We're going back in time in Peter's life. And he's out there. Jesus has been preaching and teaching. And here it is, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he, referring to Jesus, he stopped. He said to Simon, that's Peter, by the way, for those of you who don't know. He's talking to Peter. This is the same Peter later that is standing before the council. He says, hey, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Already done that. Haven't caught anything, but don't miss this part. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at your word, I will, and you need to fill in the blank. You know what? I love it from the NIV. When you read it, he said, you know what Peter says in the NIV? He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so. You know what I think we need in the unorthodox church today? A commitment that says, because you say so, Lord, I will. If you say so, Lord, I will. Whatever you're asking me to do, God, I will. I will. Do you obey the prompting of the Spirit? I want to challenge you right now. Are you willing to obey the prompting of the Spirit in this moment? While I am preaching this sermon, while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about an area of your life today, do I obey that still small voice? Maybe it's been speaking to you for a while. Maybe it's been talking to you about things in your life for a while. Are you ready to say yes or no because he says so? See, the test of obedience is always ultimately a test of lordship in your life. You get to choose. We get to choose. That's what makes God such a perfect gentleman. We get to choose to obey him or to disobey him. We get to choose to walk with him or away from him. We get to choose to serve him or to deny him. Honestly, I don't even know if Peter in that moment at the boat, if he really fully understood what Jesus was doing. See, Jesus didn't want him to catch more fish. Jesus was trying to decide, is Peter going to obey me when my advice to him does not even look like the prudent thing to do? Is Peter going to obey something I ask him to do that doesn't make sense in physical terms? Is Peter going to obey me just because I said so? Or is he going to rationalize this command away because it just doesn't make sense in this moment? See, we need to understand our obedience to God and his word is not predicated upon me always understanding all the details why. Now, let me be clear. I'm talking about the word of God, not something crazy that somebody speaks to you in your life. You need to test the spirits and make sure they're of God. Amen? Come on, somebody. But if God is talking to you, and I know God is talking to some people in this room right now, and those of you who are watching online, God is speaking to you, and he's challenging you, are you going to obey me, or are you going to disobey me? Things like give, and it will be given back to you. I don't understand this, Lord, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. Things like love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, I don't really know how that works, but God, because you say it, I'm going to do it. Things like be holy because I am holy. Lord, you know how hard it is to be holy today? Yeah, but I can help you and you can do it. Lord, because you say so, I will choose the path of holiness and righteousness. Things like forgive so you can be forgiven. Does it make sense? Not really. But is it what God wants us to do? Yes. See, the Bible's full of so many examples. I could go on and on and on, but our choices need to follow the path of obedience. Look what they said in Exodus chapter 24 and 4 and verse 7 when the law and the scripture had been read to them. It said, then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. I want you to notice their response. It wasn't, give us 30 days to pray about it. It wasn't, well, let's do a few more Bible studies on that subject. Let me talk to a few theologians. Let me check out what the latest and greatest. No. You know what their response was? Again, they all responded. Here it is. We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey. We will obey. Folks, that's unorthodox. We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey. And sometimes you've just got to stop trying to figure out why God is saying to you what he is saying to you. You just need to start saying yes to what he is saying to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, folks, we're enlightened. We've got the light of the Holy Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're serving the Lord. And the scripture says, Peter says, hey, don't be ignorant anymore. He says, walk in obedience. Amen? And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Additionally, he also said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but what? The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We got to make the choice to obey. I'm going to ask the praise team and musicians to come on up. I didn't preach as long as I normally do today for a reason. I want praise team to come on up. There was a time once in the Old Testament when the prophet Samuel had a confrontation with King David, and he said these words to him. He said, David, it's better for you to obey than to sacrifice. His point to the king was David was wanting to worship his own way. He was wanting to do some things outside of the guidelines. Samuel told him, said, no, you need to obey. You need to walk in obedience. Because if you're not, your worship, your sacrifice, it's meaningless if you don't walk in obedience. Peter chose to obey. He understood that God had forgiven him, delivered him, saved him. How could he not do what God had commanded him to do? And in obedience to God, here's my question to you. Is obedience to God the guiding principle of your life? And I want to make this really personal in this altar call right now. Is obedience to God and to the Scripture, is that the guiding principle of your life? Now, if you're not a Christian yet, that needs to be the next step you make, to make Jesus Lord of your life and to let His Word and His Spirit be your guide. But if you are a believer, let me ask you this question. Is obedience to God the priority, the guiding principle in your life? I want to be very specific about our altar call today. How many of us in this very moment, you don't have to raise your hand. Matter of fact, I'm just going to ask you, everybody all over this room, why don't you stand with me if you're able, and let's bow our heads. Could you do that? I'm wrapping up right now. Just bow your head, close your eyes, nobody looking around the room. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you in this very moment, you feel God dealing with your heart about some area that you need to obey Him in? This isn't the first time He's talked to you, but this is a moment where He's challenging you and giving you an opportunity to respond. He's asking you to make the choice to obey Him in some area of your life. I want this to be very personal for us right now. And I'm going to take a moment right here, and I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak a very specific word in your mind or in your spirit if He's not doing it right now. It might be a strong impression. You already know what it is that God's talking to you about. He's been talking about this for a while. And the Lord sent me to say to you, today is the day of salvation. You can make an opportunity to turn things around right now. And then when they start to sing, if you're willing to say yes to whatever it is that the Lord is asking you to obey Him in today, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat and come forward to seal the deal. And hear me, when you come out of your seat today, you're saying, Lord, to the best of my ability. And I don't want you to miss that. He's not asking you for perfection. I'm not asking you to step out and say, Lord, I promise you that this is never, ever going to happen again in my life. Nope. But you're willing to step out and say, God, to the best of my ability, today I'm going to choose to start obeying you in my life. Some of you, God right now is talking to you about your finances. He wants you to learn to live within your means. He wants you to start giving faithfully. You want the blessing and favor of God on your finances. Maybe you've been wrestling with that commitment of your life. Step out today and say, God, I'm going to continue. I'm going to decide to put you first, and I'm going to watch you open the windows of heaven in my life. Some of you, God is talking to you about your sexuality. You need to commit to purity in your marriage. Or if you're single, God's calling on you to abstain, and God is going to honor that choice if you obey his word. I'm challenging you today specifically to say, I'm going to choose to obey God and not man. Just because culture tells you it's okay, you know what the word of God says. Some of you, again, I'm being very specific. God's talking to you about your recreational drug use and alcohol. Please stop arguing with God about moderation if he is calling for you to abstain. Who are you going to obey? The voice of the Spirit or the logic of man? Come on. Some of you, God is calling you to honesty. Stop lying. Stop stretching the truth. Honesty in your relationships. If you're living together, it's time to get married. If you're single, it's time to get honest about what you're pursuing and how you're... Make a choice today. Don't be afraid to say, God, I'm ready to commit to obedience. Now, as the team begins to sing, I just want to give you the opportunity to step out from where you are and say, Lord, I'm not committing to perfection, but God, I am committing myself to obedience at a higher level. You've been talking to me about this for a while, or maybe you're talking to me about this today. And this isn't just about what you're going to give up. This might be a challenge to go to a higher level in prayer, or in consecration, or some areas of purity in your life, or maybe you're answering the call of Jesus to serve in a different capacity. Whatever it is, you need to choose to say yes to Jesus. So as they sing, I want to invite you to come and respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit today. I choose to obey God. Would you come? Would you come? I know there's some people in this room right now. Would you come? Come on, that's it. You're in good company. Yes, God. I'm choosing to obey. I'm choosing to obey today. I know it's unorthodox in this day and age, but I'm choosing to obey you in every area of my life, God. I'm choosing to obey. I'm committing my finances to you. I'm committing my marriage to you. I'm committing my purity to you. I'm committing my dating life to you. I'm committing my career choices to you, God. I'm choosing to obey you, God. Hungry hearts. Lord, I ask you to renew me, refresh me, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira and hold back a part of what you called me to give to you, God. I want to be like Peter, and I want to stand up before the critics and say, God, I'm going to serve you. Yes, God. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to close that door of my life once and for all. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you, God. Come on, this is beautiful. God, I commit to you. Yes, I surrender all to you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes. Come on, that's it. With hands lifted, God, I surrender to you. I submit to you, God. I'm not withholding anything from you, God. Oh, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, God. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, that's it. All over this house, God, I commit to you.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.